Good morning, and welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. We're glad you tuned in today. Trinity Lutheran is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado. Pastor Jason Cody and the congregation at Trinity Lutheran welcome you to join them every Sunday, in person or right here on KSPK. And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
Good morning. The Lord's blessings to everyone in Christ Jesus. Thanks for being here for our service today. We have a beautiful service planned, and we're blessed to be together as brothers and sisters. Today, we're hearing from the prophet Habakkuk. Habakkuk has a comforting and beautiful lesson for us today to hear from. And we're blessed to be in the Lord's house to receive his gifts, both in word and sacrament. If you're joining us on the radio this morning, we thank you for tuning into our service. Wish you the Lord's blessings as well. This morning, we'll begin with our opening hymn. That's hymn 576, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less. And we do invite the congregation to stand on the last verse of our hymn this morning as the cross processes to the altar. Let's sing together hymn 576. Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins as a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue now with our intro this morning from Psalm 119. I hope for your salvation, O Lord, and I do your commandments. I rejoice at your word, like one who finds a great spoil. Seven times a day I praise you for your just and righteous decrees. Grant peace, great peace, have those who love your law. Nothing can make them stumble. My soul keeps your testimonies. I love them exceedingly.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
I hope for your salvation, O Lord, and I do your commandments. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, our refuge and strength, the author of all godliness, by your grace hear the prayers of your church. Grant that those things which we ask in faith, we may receive through your bountiful mercy. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated. Our Old Testament reading for this morning comes from Habakkuk, the first and second chapters. This text is also the text for our sermon this morning. The oracle that Habakkuk the prophet saw: O Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not hear? Or cry to you violence and you will not save? Why do you make me see iniquity, and why do you idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. So the law is paralyzed, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, so justice goes forth perverted. I will take my stand at my watchpost and station myself on the tower and look out to see what he will say to me and what I will answer concerning my complaint. And the Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so he may run who reads it. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Behold, his soul is puffed up. It is not upright within him. But the righteous shall live by his faith. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We now invite the children up to the front for our children's sermon. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
What did you have for breakfast?
One tiny pumpkin spice donut and a coffee.
Excellent. That sounds good. Pastor Jason's kind of hungry right now. Sounds wonderful. But did you see we have some good snacks up in the fellowship hall for later? Yeah, some good ones. Hey, I got a question for you guys. Can you guys tell me what your memory verse is for today? Can anybody remember it from Sunday school? Close. That's next week. Yeah. Last week. Yep. So it says, pay attention to your there you go. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. That's it. That's from our gospel reading for today, too. Yeah. Have you guys ever heard of the game Hot Potato?
Yes.
You have? No. You've never heard of Hot Potato? So Hot Potato is the game that is just like it sounds, right? If you have a hot potato, say you just pulled a potato out of the oven, and it's really, 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 really hot, what do you do with it?
You go in the smoke hole.
Well, not usually. Usually you take the hot potato and put it down on a plate, right? And if you're thinking, you get a hot pad before you grab that hot potato. But in the game, you take whatever you're playing is the hot potato, and you throw it to the other person, and then they have to, as quick as they catch it, they have to throw it to the next person,
yeah,
right?
It's a circle.
And it can be a circle. Yeah, exactly. So, a hot potato, what happens if you hold a hot potato for too long?
It burns your hands.
No, what happens to your hands if the hot potato is really hot? It gets hot and it burns your hands. Yeah.
And it's not actually hot, like it's salty.
Yeah.
It's a salty potato.
Yeah. So guess what happens if you hold it for too long? It hurts really bad, right?
No.
So when that happens,
no.
When your potato starts to burn your hands, you have to what?
Drop it.
Or throw it to somebody else, right?
If you drop it, you lose.
Well, that's true. If you drop it, you lose. That's right. But hold on just a second before you say anything else. Hold on, Gus. What Jesus is teaching us this morning is that when somebody sins against us, that it's kind of like holding a hot potato, right? And if we hold on to that potato for too long, it's going to hurt us. So we have to get rid of that hot potato, right? And we want to go right away and tell somebody if they've sinned against us and hurt us. We want to go to them and tell them. And why do we want to do that? So they can say they're sorry and we can forgive them. Yeah, exactly. And that's what's important. That's what Jesus is teaching us. He doesn't want us holding these hot potatoes of offense or these hot potatoes of grudges. He wants us to get rid of them right away, right? And so if somebody does hurt us or sin against us, it's important that we go tell them so that we can have forgiveness there too, okay? Would you guys fold your hands and bow your heads and close your eyes with me? Let's say a prayer. Repeat after me, ready? Lord Jesus, we thank you for all your love and your forgiveness. Please help us to not hold grudges, but be forgiven and share your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thanks, guys. You can go back to your seats. All right. Our epistle lesson for this morning from 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day. I remember your tears. I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been made manifest through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher and apostle and teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. Follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We invite the congregation to stand now if you're able as we sing our Alleluia verse and the reading of the Holy Gospel. Gospel according to St. Luke, the 17th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Temptations to sin are sure to come, but woe to the one through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were cast into the sea than that he should cause one of these little ones to sin. Pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in the day and turns to you seven times saying, 'I repent,' you must forgive him." The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." And the Lord said, "If you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Will any one of you who has a servant plowing or keeping sheep say to him when he has come in from the field, 'Come at once and recline at table'? Will he not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me and dress properly and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterward you will eat and drink'? Does he thank the servant because he did what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We remain standing and sing our hymn of the day. That's hymn 587, I Know My Faith Is Founded. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Please be seated. This morning I want to introduce you, if I can, to the prophet Habakkuk, who we heard from our Old Testament lesson this morning. Some things to know about Habakkuk, and that's that first he lived and wrote around the year 600 605 BC. In the same year that Nebuchadnezzar and his army of Babylon launched their first attack against Judah. Habakkuk watched as God's people continually broke his law, perverted it, ignored the precepts of Torah. They hadn't learned the lesson that God had given them from the northern 10 tribes only just a little while longer than a century before. That if you worship idols and refuse to go to temple and refuse to listen to God's word, the judgment will be swift and powerful. But Habakkuk is a different book than a lot of the other books of the prophets. For example, many of the prophets speak directly and address the people of Israel. Habakkuk does not. The book of Habakkuk is basically a conversation between the prophet and God Almighty. That's what's recounted in the chapters of Habakkuk. It's more of a book of lament, of questions and answers, if you really think about it. The prophet will lament all the evil and how it could continually go on without God stopping it. Did you hear in the beginning of our reading, how long, O Lord, will this keep happening? To where the law, did you hear the strong language that he uses? The law is paralyzed, he says. There was corrupt power in Habakkuk's time. This evil empire, Babylon, see, it's not included in our reading, but if you read on past in chapter 1, the first four verses, you find Habakkuk even launching another question, not just how long, O Lord, but also how could you use Babylon, this pagan nation, these people who don't care about you at all, to bring your justice upon Judah? Asking the hard questions is what Habakkuk does. I find it to be true that if I just ask people at random, hey, have you ever read the prophet Habakkuk? You know, the answer is like, well, not really. It's a very tiny book, right? But it's really, really great. It's really powerful for us as believers to know Habakkuk a little bit. Habakkuk demands almost God answer him. He says that he sets himself up on the watch post of the Tower of Israel, waiting for God to answer his questions, his hard questions. How long, O Lord? How could you allow this? Is basically the book of Habakkuk. And God does. He comes and answers Habakkuk, and he tells him to write the vision, to make it plain on tablets. As I was studying it this week and reading it and studying, I thought, you know what? Habakkuk's time is not that much different than our time today in a lot of ways. There was trouble afoot. There was leadership even that was crooked. There was lawlessness. There was unrighteousness running all around. And the worst part, that lawlessness seemed to have free course. And this is why he's frustrated in his lament to God. Basically, the prayer of the prophet isn't really all that different from the prayer that often comes across our lips and minds too. God, tell me you don't know this prayer. God, when are you going to stop this? When are you going to put an end to all this garbage that's going on? Basically, how long, O Lord? So many don't seem to have respect or time for your word. And so many despise your sacrament, the church, and have better things to do, they think. We watched a few weeks back in our society as someone who stood up for their faith was literally shot in cold blood. We heard about the person who drove their car into a Mormon church in Michigan and shot the place up and set it on fire. We've seen even in Colorado again that our public schools become ground zero of another tragedy. We watch as people struggle to emotionally make it through one day without their weed, their booze. And as psychedelic drugs are becoming like legalized and allowed to be used by the law. And colleges and universities, they so often promote not service to the neighbor, but this hyper-selfish individualism is the culture. This I'm going to progress in myself and it's all about me world. There's no sense of loving God and neighbor. It's more about personal advancement and what some people call progress. Every Sunday, these sports stadiums, they're packed full of people. And you're paying $200, $300, $400 just for a seat in the nosebleeds. And the churches, not always the case. And they're free. Every morning starts up and people are on their smartphones, scrolling through those social media, watching their stocks, not doing any prayers or devotions. So it makes sense that we look out and we kind of share in Habakkuk's lament, right? How long? Oh Lord, are you going to let this go on? This is injustice. And your law is being perverted. Are you going to sit idle? But here's the most curious part. Habakkuk's lament and our lament, they sound a lot the same, don't they? But Habakkuk, he was, remember, 605 years before Jesus was born at Bethlehem. We're 2,000 and some change after that. And our question's the same? Jesus has come. Born of a virgin, walked on our earth, showed that he was God quite plainly, was crucified for our sins, buried, resurrected, and the Holy Spirit came to the earth in the book of Acts chapter 2 at Pentecost. All of that amazing stuff has taken place already. And our prayer is the same? I think it's curious and interesting that that's the case. It's a strange reality that in chapter 2, then, we have to consider this answer of God. The answer to Habakkuk's question and something that gives us this strange perspective. The vision, he said, waits its appointed time. That was his answer. Or Habakkuk's laments. Remember the first one being, how long, O Lord? And the second one being, how could you let this happen that these evil people would be ever used according to your will? And his answer, the vision awaits its appointed time, he tells Habakkuk. It's not a lie. It hastens towards its end. What vision do you think the Lord is talking about to Habakkuk in chapter 2? He's talking about Jesus. He's talking about the cross and the resurrection. He's talking about the advent of the Holy Spirit and the reality of God here on earth among us. Emmanuel, God with us. The time when God says to Habakkuk, the righteous shall live by faith, if you caught that at the end of the reading. That's the vision. And here we sit, 2,000 years on the other side of that vision in historical time, and our question's the same? Like nothing's changed? Perhaps you see what I'm seeing. Something's wrong. Habakkuk couldn't see the fulfillment of this, or really even the purpose in this, other than what God told him that we have the blessing of being able to read still 2,605 years later, roughly. But we do see. We do know exactly the details of this amazing thing that God has done for us. Shouldn't our prayer be different a little? Then how long, O Lord? Brothers and sisters in Christ, I want to admonish you this morning, if I can, that if we're sitting back and our perspective is that we're just watching things play out and we're sort of saying, how long are you going to let this go on, Lord? That I just have to wonder if that perspective is a part of the problem or a part of the solution. Imagine Habakkuk just for a minute sitting in one of these big stadiums and he's watching Israel as they're caught up in idolatry and immorality of all different kinds and not going to worship as they were commanded. He's watching all this stuff just kind of play out and he sees Israel just falling apart out on the field. They've given up on the scriptures. They're caught in idolatry. He's just seeing it all taking place. And then ask yourself, is that the seat that I'm taking in my own perspective, like I'm up above everything watching? Is that the vantage that we have on the rest of the world? I think for us to sit back and say, think about this, say that, look at all of them. Look at what's going on out there. It's kind of proud. And it's kind of an egotistical perspective. Like we're just quietly saying, oh, I'm on the sidelines. I'm okay, but I don't know what's wrong with all of those people, right? It's proud. It's blind. To be a Christian, to have faith that Jesus' cross and resurrection didn't just happen in historical time, but it happened for you, is to be the person who believes that Habakkuk's vision fulfilled in Jesus. To be someone who knows that Jesus of Nazareth is that fulfillment, and he gives us a whole different perspective and vantage on the world. A fulfilled perspective. Habakkuk couldn't see what was coming in his day. He could see no purpose in all that was happening in Israel. But we can. We know all about it. And we hear the teachings of our Lord. He says, let the wheat and the tares grow up together. At the end, they'll be separated. The wheat into the barn, the chaff into the fire. Peter tells us plainly in his epistle what's going on. When we're crying out, how long, O Lord? It's like we think he's slow concerning his promise. But Peter says he's not slow concerning his promise, but he's patient towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So to answer Habakkuk's question, how long, O Lord, why does he wait? Because he loves us. Because he loves the world. That's John 3, right? It's Jesus came for the whole world. It's 1 John. Jesus died for Pantakosmos, for the whole world. So we know what he's doing. So yes, as the days tick by, probably some more garbage is going to go down as long as he continues to be patient. It's going to happen in a sinful world. But by faith, that we walk by faith and not by sight, by faith, we're not focused on those things. It's different now. We've been baptized. We've been taught the scriptures. And like no more than a soldier on the battlefield is focused on every bullet that's whizzing by them as they go for the mission. If they did that, they'd lose their mission. But they stay focused on these great things that God has accomplished, on these great things that he's given us, this gift of forgiveness. Do you realize how great that is? Do you realize that there's no other place on the face of the earth where we could come and leave with a clean conscience? It's right here. It's amazing. No matter what we've done or left undone, no matter what's happened to us, no matter who we've got conflict with, we hear the words of our Lord. I forgive all your sins. Those are his words. And with those kinds of gifts, receiving the very body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in a miraculous way, it fulfills our mission. The Lord told us that. We're saved. We're safe. Not by who we are. And not by who I or you are trying to make ourselves into in this life. That won't save us. We're saved by grace, through faith. It's the gift of God. And with that kind of confidence and that kind of zeal and those beautiful treasures to share, we can hear the words of our Lord. Matthew chapter 28, he says, go and baptize and teach. In Luke 24, he says, repentance and the forgiveness of sins must be preached to the whole world, beginning at Jerusalem. He's given everything that the world needs. The vision does no longer wait its appointed time, but the vision has come to us at the cross and the resurrection when Jesus said, his word's not mine, it is finished. We're not sitting back waiting for God to act. At least we shouldn't be. Wondering where he is from our high, lofty position, we know where he is. Where he's promised to be in his word and in his sacraments. And we receive his gifts, and now we're included in his purpose. That's a whole different thing than Habakkuk saying, how long? Jesus said it in John's gospel. He said, I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends. Because the servant doesn't know what his master's doing, but his friends know. The will of the Lord, get this, has been revealed to you and to me. That Jesus came into the world, this is the faithful saying, to save sinners. Habakkuk's a gift to all of us. A gift from God to calm our fears as we watch the world struggle and groan. It's a book that asks questions, our questions, and God answers them. And you know, by the end of the book of Habakkuk, in only three short chapters, the prophet concludes his book saying these words, and I want to end here. Yet, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. At this time, we invite the congregation to please stand if you're able as we confess our faith together this morning to the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We now come to our time for our prayer of the church. This morning our response for our prayers is here, our prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Father in heaven, you give to your people a spirit, not of fear, but of power and self-control. Bless your people with your wisdom, with your mission and your purpose to bring the gospel to all who will hear, to speak it to friends and family, to speak it to co-workers and fellow students. Lord, help us shout your message of forgiveness and a clear conscience and the blessings of heaven from the rooftops. And speak your word in faith and love to all who will hear. Lord, in your mercy, Almighty God, Lord, remember our pastors, church workers, teachers, as they travel to attend the District Church Workers Conference next week. Lord, strengthen them by your power to continue to endure in their callings courageously for the gospel, and guard the good deposit entrusted to them. Lord, in your mercy. Everlasting Father, guide husbands and wives to love and forgive each other, and strengthen them in their life together. Lord, help parents to be faithful examples for their children, and grant that orphans may know the joy of a home and call it their own. Lord, bless those who you haven't seen it fit to be married, but have given another purpose. Lord, show them the purpose that you've given them in the gospel. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, hear us on behalf of those who exercise authority over us, who order us according to our laws, who execute justice, and who defend us against our enemies. Lord, bless our president, Congress, governor, legislature, and all who make and administer our laws. Lord, continue to remind us that you are in control, that no one is in office apart from your will. Lord, help us trust in you above our own understanding. Lord, in your mercy. God, our rock, grant faith, perseverance, and if it's for their good, healing to those who are suffering from the effects of sin in their bodies or minds. Lord, especially we name before you this morning those who've asked for our prayers, Marcus and family, Teresa O'Hare, O'Haver, Cheryl O'Dowd, Betty Patton, Carly Moore, Lauren Belfer and Katie Philly, Izzy Wieskamp, Connie Hauser, Letha and Tom Hershey, Helen Almdale, Lauren O'Howey, Jeff Otto Pollock, Frank and Audra Rendon, Greg Gonzalez, Larry Reinbarger, Rob and Ingrid Miller, Rupert Gallegos, Ella Gonzalez, Debbie Ford, Betty Gray, Sandy Santa Stephen, Betty Patton, Sonny Rumler, Don Hermanson, and all those that we name silently on our hearts at this time. Lord, be their refuge and their strength. Show them the purpose that you have for them as well, so they are not shaken even in times of trouble. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Lord, your word became flesh and dwelt among us. This day we rejoice that our sins are forgiven in the washing of baptism, the declaration of absolution, the eating and the drinking of the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Continually strengthen our faith through your word and prepare our hearts to faithfully receive this divine gift, which brings the immortal body and blood of Jesus to our very lips. Lord, in your mercy. Faithful God, strengthen us against all temptation and guard our steps, that our weakness, Lord, in it we would not find liberty, but only in you. Lord, and that we may be servants to others in your name and not cause them to sin. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty and everlasting God, deliver us from temptation and the powers of evil, that we may be faithful unto death and receive from your hand the crown of everlasting life. Whether we live or whether we die, we belong to you. Comfort us with this promise, that we may join the company of the saints on your appointed day and enter into the heavenly places to worship at your throne on high. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. We now invite the teachers to come forward. when it comes, you guys are good right there. Yeah, that'll work. What a blessing our teachers are. What amazing work they do each and every day with the students, not only in their education, but also in their faith, as both of these gals share their faith with our students, and we're so thankful for that. So we begin with our rite for installation. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Suzanne, Tolsma, and Alexis have been appointed to serve as teachers here at Trinity Lutheran Church, and also Suzanne as assistant director here at Trinity Lutheran School. They have been prepared for this service through advanced studies that qualifies them for this work. Trinity Lutheran School has been established to instruct young children to seek Christ in a Christian environment and to give them such knowledge and skills that will equip them for faithful service and responsible citizenship in their life's work and chosen careers. Do each of you, Suzanne and Alexis, willingly and freely assume the responsibilities entrusted to you, and do you promise to do your utmost to carry out in a God-pleasing manner the work assigned to you according to the mission and purpose of Trinity Lutheran School? If so, say yes, I do. Do you promise to set a Christian example for the students in speech, life, faith, and purity? If so, say yes, I do. You have heard the solemn promises of Alexis and Suzanne. Will you receive them, show them fitting respect and honor, and pledge to cooperate and support with them in their work? If so, say, we will with the help of God.
We will with the help of God.
Suzanne and Alexis, I install you as teachers and as assistant director for Trinity Lutheran School in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you face the altar with me and we'll pray? O God, source of all abiding knowledge, through word and spirit, you both enlighten the minds and sanctify the lives of those whom you draw to your service. Therefore, look with favor upon Trinity Lutheran School and upon each of these blessed teachers that you've sent here, that they may apply their skill and teach students what they know, not only in the world, but also in the world to come with your faithful word. Lord, strengthen them with ready diligence to fulfill your will according to your good purpose. We pray in your name. Amen. Thank you very much. Thank you. We now come to the time in our service for our offering. As the offerings are collected and presented this morning, we invite you to turn in your hymnals to hymn 873 and sing Christ, Whose Glory Fills the Skies. If you've been joining us on the radio this morning, we thank you for tuning into our service. We do wish you the Lord's blessings as he continues to be your hope and stay and strength as he is all of ours through this coming week. If you're gathered in the sanctuary this morning, we are planning to have the service of Holy Communion in a line at the front here. So we'll line up and come forward and receive the sacrament and return to our pews. And also, if you turn over, of course, to page 11, we're at the bottom of page 11. And if you please stand, if you're able, for our service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection, opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
thank you for joining our service today at Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa, Colorado. We hope this worship service has been a blessing to you. If you would like to support our ministry, please visit our website by searching Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. On our website, click the link for Apple or Android devices to upload our app to your phone or tablet. Our app has many resources to help you. Thank you. And may the Lord bless you this week.
KSPK, Walsenburg, Alamosa, and Trinidad, Southern Colorado's best country music. It's 11 o'clock.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Expectations are high as a U.S. delegation is part of talks in Cairo on the U.S. proposal to release hostages held by Hamas and end the fighting in Gaza. The White House South Lawn today, President Trump.
They're in negotiation right now as we speak. They've started the negotiation. It'll last a couple of days. We'll see how it turns out, but I'm hearing it's going very well.
Israel says it will not carry out offensive attacks in Gaza during the talks. Today at the White House, President Trump continued to make these comments about Portland, Oregon, that a federal judge he appointed said don't reflect the facts.
Portland is burning to the ground. It's insurrectionist all